content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book The First Time Gardener Growing Vegetables by Jessica Sowards. And we left off in Chapter 7, The Nitty-Gritty of Garden Management. And we were on the topic of weeding. And here are tips for weeding. Make a schedule for yourself and stick to it. 5 minutes a day of weeding is much easier to maintain than an hour every weekend. Break it up, make it manageable, and catch weeds early. They are significantly easier to pull before their roots are well established. Weed after watering or after a rain. When the soil is damp, it is a lot looser and weeds are easier to pull. Wear gloves and use hand tools. Some weeds are easier to pull out with your bare hands, but you can move through the task faster with tools. Get the roots. Don't just pull the tops of the weeds off. You need to get the roots out so they will come right back. Tools aid greatly with this. Don't let them go to seed. Remember what you learned about the life cycle of plants. If you allow a weed to flower and spread seeds in your garden, you'll be dealing with its offspring for years to come. This is another argument for weeding a little bit every day. Mulch, mulch, mulch. I covered mulch in an earlier chapter, but this bears repeating. I cannot express to you enough how important it is to mulch your garden. If you are growing in raised beds or in the ground, if you till or you don't, however your garden grows, mulch it. A few inches of straw or broken down wood chips or whatever material you choose will cut your weeding down to a fraction of what it could be. Soil doesn't like to be naked. Mulch is a game changer in the weeding department. And our next chapter is, our next topic is top watering versus bottom watering. Any method that causes water to fall on top of the plant is called top watering. By using hoses or sprinklers, these methods water the entire plant and fall onto the soil, mimicking the rain. Bottom watering applies water at the base of the plant, leaving the foliage dry and soaking the soil where the plant is rooted. Plants take in water by their roots, so there is no reason to water the leaves, stems, or fruit of garden plants. Bottom watering is the superior choice for watering a garden, though it isn't always feasible. When we bottom water, we avoid bacterial and fungal sicknesses that can be encouraged and spread by moisture on the foliage. The water is able to soak directly into the soil instead of evaporating off the foliage. Watering at the soil eliminates splashback of soil onto the foliage, which helps avoid spreading pathogens and sickness to your plants. In areas where there is a lot of rainfall, these issues can be rampant. Obviously, we cannot control the rain, but we can help these issues not by be exacerbated by watering at the base of our plants whenever possible. Watering schedule is our next topic. New gardeners always ask, how often should I water my garden? This is a question that is not easily answered. New gardeners make the mistake of overwatering more often than they make the mistake of underwatering. Watering should be done regularly, every few days, more often in very hot climates, and deeply. Deep watering means that water is given in enough quantity and over the course of enough time that it saturates several inches down into the soil. Watering every 3 days for 2 hours with a slow dripping soaker hose is better than a shallow, brief drenching twice a day. Not only is it better, it's a lot less work. Test this by showering your soil with water for 1 minute. Brush the top layer of soil aside. You may be surprised to find that though the soil appears saturated on top, it is still dry just under the surface. Turn the hose down and leave it barely trickling in the same spot and come back in several minutes to test again. Slow, deep watering means the entire ecosystem of your garden soil receives life-giving moisture. It encourages all the life in your soil to thrive, which supports your plants. Frequent, shallow watering promotes root growth near the surface of the soil. Deep watering at fewer intervals, however, encourages roots to go deep, which means plants can go longer between watering and be fine. To determine whether the garden needs water, brush the mulch and soil aside and feel the soil. Squeeze a handful of soil. If it holds together, it has enough moisture. If it begins breaking apart or is at all crumbly or dry, it needs water. Regular watering is important for the health of the garden. Watering too much can cause plants to suffer from the inability to absorb nutrients. It can cause irregularities in fruit production and can make plants more susceptible to disease. The hard work of the garden definitely pays off, but there are times when it can be wearing. The most important bit of advice I can give you about garden maintenance is this. Just keep showing up. Throwing your arms up and leaving the garden to the mercy of nature will ensure that it grows wild. The wilder it gets, the more difficult to tame it becomes. Just keep showing up a little bit every day. The reward of all of this is, of course, the harvest. In the next chapter, I'll give you all the information you need to know when to harvest the food you've been working for. And this is the next chapter. And it's chapter 8, Making the Harvest. You did it. You planned your garden. You built a beautiful space. You've tended and nurtured your plants. And it's time to fill your plate with healthful food that grew in your yard. But wait, when do you harvest? Knowing when to best harvest the garden's bounty is yet another thing that seems overwhelming to a first-time grower. You may be growing varieties you've never seen in the produce section of your grocery store. Therefore, you might be unsure of what you're looking for. You may be worried you'll pick your food too early or too late, ruining it. Or you could be concerned if it's even safe to eat at all. In this chapter, I'd like to walk you through your options in harvesting. Let this lesson be a diving board for you. Develop your own preferences. Make your own way. If you miss a fruit in your garden and let it get too big, experiment with it. Maybe you find you like the way jalapenos get hotter after they turn red, or that you prefer pickle relish made with huge, overripe cucumbers. Basically, food is food, and I don't want to limit you to believing there is one perfect stage for harvesting every single thing. Our next topic is real food comes dirty. This may not apply to you at all, but because there are those that need to hear it, it must be said. For many people, eating food that grew in their yard is a big leap out of their comfort zone. In many places, homegrown food is simply not the societal norm. I've had the opportunity over the years to speak with countless new gardeners who had to overcome mental blocks about eating food they grew. They had never before consumed food that wasn't purchased from stores or professional farmers. When we go into a grocery store and see the expansive displays of produce, we do not see all the odd and ugly fruits and vegetables that are thrown away. We do not see insects or holes chewed in leaves or dirt clinging to roots and stems. In fact, it's easy in a grocery store to disconnect the food we buy from its origin entirely. Here's a fact we have to face head on in the garden. Real food comes dirty, and sometimes it has bugs on it. All food starts this way, even if we never see it. Before it makes it to the store shelves or in boxes with a list of other ingredients, somewhere and in the hands of someone, it started out with dirt on it. Don't be afraid of your garden veggies. They are a wonderful, nutritious explosion of flavor that is the reward for all your hard work. It's okay if you feel unsure at first. You aren't alone in that. I encourage you to push through any feelings of unease and know that you can retrain yourself to see the food that grew in your yard as normal. Pretty soon, you'll be spoiled by home-grown produce, and you'll find the idea of picking a green tomato and shipping it halfway across the world downright bizarre. You'll see those heads of lettuce in wrappers in the store and smile at the mental image of them growing in rows with their roots still in the soil. It's just a matter of changing the way you think. You'll get there, Gardner. Now, go enjoy your homegrown dinner. And just a side note, when I did my first garden last year, when I tasted those tomatoes from your garden, you will want always to pull tomatoes from your garden, never to buy in a grocery store. It's such a different taste. They're wonderful. Just wash them well. And here's our next topic is saltwater soak. Don't eat bugs. Don't freak out. Real food comes dirty and sometimes has bugs on it. Just because you may be dealing with pest pressure doesn't mean you should toss your harvest. Some crops have a lot of natural hiding places. Things like cauliflower, broccoli, and leafy greens may have tag-along caterpillars that worm their way into your home, like what I did there on your freshly harvested garden goods. Don't let them worm their way onto your plate. Fill your kitchen sink or a large bowl with cool water. Dissolve 3 tablespoons of table salt and soak these plants and any others that you suspect may have hideaways in crevices or blending in with green leaves. After about 20 minutes in a saltwater bath, all insects should have evacuated your food. Rinse with fresh water and prepare as normal. The next topic is time of day. Ideally, the best time to harvest most things in your garden is early in the morning, before the sun has hit your plants. This is the time of day when the water content in the plants is highest, as they have been able to rest and replenish moisture through a long night of darkness. Harvests made in the early morning are crispier and juicier. In some cases, harvesting in the heat of the day can be of benefit to flavor. In the case of tomatoes and melons, picking when the water content is lower, therefore the sugars are less diluted, can make for a tastier fruit. While I do prefer to harvest my cucumbers and kale early in the morning and my tomatoes late in the afternoon, I do not believe harvesting during the wrong time of day will ruin a harvest. Realistically, the best time to harvest your garden is when you have time to harvest your garden. And our next topic is soaking the heat off. Years ago, an older gentleman shared this harvesting tip while we chatted in line at a store. I didn't catch his name, but I've carried his wisdom with me since then, and it has perked up many of my harvests. If you harvest anything, specifically if you harvest later in the afternoon when the sun is up and the water content in your plants may be low, you may notice quick wilting. This applies to any vegetable you are picking, such as leafy greens and root vegetables, or fruits like cucumbers and peppers. Simply fill a sink or bowl with cool water and soak your harvest for 20 to 30 minutes. The nameless old man called this soaking the heat off. I feel like more scientifically, this soak is simply rehydrating the parts of the plants you've picked. much like putting cut flowers in a jar of water, allows them to stay fresh longer. The soak gives fruits and vegetables a boost of water before they go into storage. After soaking, gently dry them and use or store. Use scissors or pruners. Oh, I skipped a page. I'm sorry. Here we go. Harvesting tips by type. Right. And this is beans. Dry beans. Leave bean poles on the plant until Leave bean pods on the plant until they are completely dry. Harvest the pods on a dry, sunny day. Shell dried beans from pods and store. And more, these beans are green or snap beans. Beans mature quickly and can go from tender and tasty to stringy and tough very quickly. As soon as you notice young beans, begin checking regularly. Harvest while the pods still easily snap, before the individual beans begin to bulge in the pod. And another type of beans is the long or noodle beans. Much like snap beans, noodle beans or any Asian long bean should be harvested young, before the bean seeds have begun bulging in the pod. They should be springy and snap readily when bent in half. And the next is beets. Roots like beets grow with their shoulders poking out of the soil or very close to the surface. If you need to thin your beets when they are very small, save the tiny beets and baby greens, as they are both excellent additions to salad. Beet greens can be harvested and eaten at any point, from baby greens to large braising greens. At any point, if you want to discern the size of your beetroots, simply brush the soil away from the shoulders until you can get an idea of the diameter of the root. Harvest beetroots when they are young, 1 to 3 inches in diameter. For tender pickled beetroot, for cooking in recipes, to be roasted whole, or to eat raw. Harvest when they are larger to cube and roast, which will help break down fibers. Larger beetroot, which is no longer as tender, can also be cooked and pureed for soup, juiced or dehydrated to add as powder to smoothies or baked goods. Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts will mature from the bottom to the top of the stalk. They are tastiest when they have been kissed by frost, so if they are nearing maturity and you know cold weather is soon coming, try to delay harvesting, if possible, until they've encountered a light freeze. When the heads are 1 to 2 inches in diameter, cut them or twist them off the main stalk. If the leaves begin to yellow or the heads begin to open, they have gone a bit too long and should be harvested immediately. Cabbage. As cabbage matures, it will develop a firm head in the middle of its outer leaves. The outer leaves are edible, and some of them can be picked prior to the forming of the head, but don't harvest too many. They help protect the head from damage. The outer leaves are more tough and are suited for use in soups and stir fries. To determine whether the cabbage head is ready for harvest, give it a hard squeeze. The head should feel solid all the way through. I suggest doing this multiple times as the head forms, so you will be able to discern the difference. Once it is solid and firm, use a knife to cut the stem of the plant at the soil. You may be able to twist the head and detach it from the plant, but this does risk damaging it. Carrots. Carrots are the test of a gardener's patience. The tops can be misleading, and when gardeners have stood in the garden, shrouded in disappointment with a freshly pulled Dinky Danvers or cutesy cosmetic purple in hand, you can brush the soil away from the shoulders to get an idea of the size of your carrots, though this can be misleading. The best thing to do is to make a note of the days to maturity when planting. Mark their finish date on the calendar and try to forget about them in the meantime. Easier said than done. If you think your carrots are looking ready, the best way to find out is to make a sacrificial test pull. Pull out one carrot. If it isn't big enough for your liking, wait a week or two and try again. Carrots can be eaten even at a small size, so any carrots pulled too early can still be added to dinner. Note, carrot tops are edible too. They make a tasty pesto. And cucumbers. Cucumbers can be harvested as soon as they are big enough to make a good size bite. They grow incredibly fast and become massive, bitter, seedy things in a very short time. What size you harvest will be determined by the variety you're growing and the way you plan to use them. Gherkins should be harvested shortly after the fruit is set, when it is 2 to 3 inches in length. Most pickling varieties are picked at 3 to 6 inches in length, depending on your preference of pickle size. Slicers should be harvested when they are long and smooth, but before they begin to turn yellow. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-5138 if you'd like to contact us.